Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to get a get a few verses. Lamb is going to read Exodus 3:7. Nate, Exodus 3:10. Eli, Exodus 3:11. And Isaac Solano, Exodus 4:24 through 26. There's a common phrase that is used. I don't know if you've heard this. It's called a burning bush experience. You ever heard that? Having a burning bush experience. And so, burning bush experience is based, of course, on the scripture that we're going to read. It's talking about an encounter with God, where a human being meets with God, and that in some way it changes either just some things in your life, or it can change your entire life. And so, I was thinking about that in relation to conference, and that is why we're looking at that, is that conference can be just like that. Conference can change some things in your life. For some people, conference can change their entire life. And so the question is why? Why is it that that has a lifelong impact on certain people? So let's read in Exodus 3, I'm going to read the main verse, you just follow along with me. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when he saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me. I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. A burning bush experience. So this is this lesson is very simple, and I'm going to get response from you in a moment. But think about an encounter with God. This story is about an encounter or meeting with God. And so this scripture shows us something, and that is that God wants to meet personally with people, or in other words, he wants to meet with you. It's not enough that he's in heaven. It's not enough, hey, you got my book, deal with it. Is that this scripture tells us that God wants to meet with people, and he does. And that's sometimes an occasional, sometimes a continual experience in different way. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is what God wants to do, is he wants to meet with you personally. And so, out of this is the aiming of his life. So what happened at this burning bush. This is why people talk about a burning bush experience. What happened here when he sees this bush that's on fire determined the course of his entire life. And so that is like conference. I'm deliberately teaching this and speaking to you after conference because that is what conference can be. It can be. And I stress can be, not automatically will be, but it can be the aiming of your life. Now, for many people it's not. Conference is, you know, that was nice. It was just simply tiring. There's a whole range of things. There are people who come away and they do not have a burning bush experience, even though God was here. And so the question is, why not? So what is it that makes... what is it that makes something a burning bush experience for you? So I just have three simple questions for you out of conference that we just finished. Because there's three crucial questions that are going to determine whether there will be a lasting aiming or will it be just simply that you heard some messages. So the first question is simply this. What did God inspire you about? And in this part, I'm not talking about conviction. I'm not talking about where God told you what you're doing wrong. What is it that God inspired you about? Think about a couple of verses here. Exodus 3, verse 7.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
Okay, so here is... this is one of the things that God can do at conference is that he can speak to you about need. Right? So Moses, think about this. He now, he has a wife, he has children, he has a job. It probably was going to be his career, his business. He's involved, family business and whatnot. And so God begins by speaking to him about need. Hey, while you're here working your job, building your business, is that there are people that are dying right now. So that can be. God can speak to people about needs. There, it's interesting that what happens sometimes in conference is that a need that we didn't think of. Someone mentions a city or a type of people or something. And God birthed that. That's what happens at a burning bush experience, is God inspires you about need. Verse 10, Exodus 3:10.
Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay, so now God moves from need to the issue of calling, and that is, you are the answer to need. In that city, and that people, and that problem, whatever it is, I have a plan for you that is larger than sheep. It's larger than working a job, pounding nails, typing on a keyboard, whatever it is you do for a living. God says, I have something bigger for you than that. So this is one of the main things that needs to happen. So I'm asking the question. I want your input. What was it that God spoke to you in conference that inspired you? In conference, and I'm looking for inspiration. Tyson?
Overseas work.
Overseas in something in particular or what?
Just in general. We, you know, especially China. We're hitting China real good, but I didn't realize how many people are actually in China. You know that there's a lot, but when they break it down to cities or you get the grasp of it's just overwhelming.
Okay. All right. Jordan?
Just the overall inspiration to see lives change. I never actually had that genuine inspiration. I never have that genuine love for people like that, for sinners. You know,
okay.
Just that deep down inspiration for people's
good. Isaac?
I was actually talking to Tyson about this when we were sitting at the sound table earlier in the week, but just about inner cities, places like big population centers that we have never hit just because they've never been opened. And I've wanted to work with like the drunk and homeless people and stuff like that, and those are like perfect areas. I know that wouldn't be a first thing, But then with the word that was given, like right at the end from Pastor Cluck, it was just kind of cool that that was kind of what I was feeling.
Yeah.
You know, obviously for the future, but I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
That really encouraged me that that would be possible someday.
Okay. Inner cities? Somebody else? What got to inspire you about? Nate?
I think one thing that really inspires me was something you said. You said that God created people like you and I. You know, and a lot of times it's easy to disqualify ourselves, but it's like, all right, God can use us. And it's like coming, going from here to here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. All right.
Having a love for the city that I'm already in instead of just, you know, believing for other places, you know, that's one thing that God really wrought me is there's a lot that we need to do here and not just think about the future, but that there's a lot that I need to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Somebody else. Devin?
God didn't, I think two main things. Number one, he gave me a fresh passion for souls, like the whole theme of the conference. It really stirred something in my wife and I both, and then also re-inspired me of a city that God had put on my heart before, but it's like God re-inspired me for that city again.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Robert?
Paul Stevens' sermon really, touched me. Talking about conversion, that's what is really needed is conversion. There's a big difference between people just coming in and becoming part of the church when people are genuinely converted. And that's not something we can do. That's something God has to do as part of the person.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
When Pastor Warner was talking about, like, because people talk about vision, but what about vision when you're, like, laying on your back? I want to establish that relationship with God, where, because we all know people who go overseas, like all kinds of stuff is, so they come to attack them, whether in family or different kind of areas.
Yeah.
And they don't have that foundation, so, you know, quickly come back or, you know, go through so much.
Yeah, relationship with God.
Just to know that who I serve and everything's going to be all right.
Yep, very good.
Can I offer what you said, Pastor Warner's sermon on the four elders? Through trauma, but just to make sure to establish those four anchors in my life, and to God really inspired me on just an intent for healing and to be a part of my life and soul winning.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Justin?
I think just for healing, like I was saying about the healing plus that prophecy to talk about healing and because I pray for people, but I'm still, like, sometimes a little nervous. And I'm just going to step out and believe God. You know what? It's not only for pastors and evangelists. It's for everyone across the board.
Yep.
I was encouraged from Pastor Mitchell's sermon on Monday, just that God can use imperfect people. It's not a special elect few. And I felt good because I'm not a special elect person.
Yeah.
One of the things for me that was pretty inspiring were all the reports, especially Ian Klein, because it felt like, you know, wow, that when I go out, that'll probably be what my report sounds like. You know, just, I mean, you see Ian, and he's not this mega flashy guy. He's not like this huge personality. He's just a common guy, and I could identify with that. And it was inspiring to me because it's like,
yep. Pretty good. Who there? Eric?
China, India, inner cities were things that I got inspired about. And then the discipleship meeting, Tori Williams, when somebody asked about doubting and calling, he said, once you make up your mind that you're called, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's between you and God. So there's that confidence you can have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Here you go, David?
For me, just a fresh focus on saving souls, because there's so many things going on in our church, but just a focus of seeing people changed and converted, and then also emphasizing the power of the Holy Spirit and focusing, you know, all the different gifts and stuff, but ultimately focusing on using the Holy Spirit through us, moving through us to save souls.
Yep. Yep. Did you get it?
Yeah. I think for me it was inspiring, again, just time. It's crazy how, like, within this conference that I'm not old, I'm only 35, but it's crazy how the years are flying by, and you can easily, the older you get, the easier it is to see, like, man, you know, we got one shot at this, and years are just flowing by, you know? And
yeah.
So that really got to hold my heart.
Yeah, very good. So, let me just... it's interesting to me that after God speaks to Moses, he talks to his brother, right? You know, have the whole objection thing, and Aaron comes. So they obviously talked about this burning bush. I think that sometimes it's a mistake for God to deal with you powerfully and you just to keep it inside. There is something powerful about you telling somebody. When I was a disciple, all the guys we were in the band with, we all wanted to preach. And so what God was doing in us in conference, we talked about, but it's almost like the Bible says, you know, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. There's something about when you speak that out that it makes it real. And so this is the first question. What did God inspire you about? Second thing that is in our scripture is that what objections stand in the way in your mind and your heart? It's obvious that by some of your responses that's been a part of what God's been doing in you. Exodus 3:11.
And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
Okay, so God speaks need. God speaks purpose and calling. You're to do that. And then what comes? But. There's always buts in life. Aren't there? You know, that's the problem. Is if we get the buts out of the way, then we could do a lot more for God. But this is very important, isn't it? Is that so, and I only just chose one. If we read on, it would have been too lengthy. There were numbers of them, weren't there? Right? So, who am I? You know, what if they don't believe? I can't talk. Right? So it's all these objections that he's bringing. So in other words, he is going to negate what God just inspired him about. And that is what happens. So that's part of the problem. So the question is, for you, what is that when you're thinking about God is stirring me, what is the but that comes in mind? That's your Isaac.
Well, because Glenn Clark's was all about healing, that's something that I've had doubt about. And so with that is, like, I was inspired about having just faith in God that he can do it. And so the thing that stands in the way is just my doubt, like, what if they don't get healed?
Okay.
Pray for somebody.
Yep, that's right. So doubt stands away. Angel?
Hearing Pastor Stevens talk about that Hispanic couple, they got saved in his church, and then they ended up going back into Mexico. You know, that sparked a tremendous inspiration in me, you know, being in the position that I'm in now. But, you know, as he gave me that prophecy, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is how am I going to equip them when I'm barely starting out myself?
Right.
And but knowing that it's not me, it's something that's supernatural. If I make myself available, that God is able to do anything, and they are able to go. Because that was another thing. It's like, oh, well, they're here in the United States, what will make them want to go back to Mexico?
Yeah.
And being challenged there in their spirit. That's good. I know they can go, but will they go?
Yep. Okay. So qualifications, and you know, and there can be that. That's kind of an internal issue that might be the past. That might be your own flesh, habits, sins that you're wrestling with, working through character issues, whatever. So this is always, but this is a pattern of calling, isn't it? Here's a need, and here's what I want to do in your life, but. And so what's interesting to me is that, I want you to notice this, God doesn't blow this off. This is important for God to work through. Now, you know, I mean, we could talk about the patience of God, that God is, All right, then don't do it. Wouldn't that be common if we were God? How many of us would have done that? Fine, then don't go. You don't want to go, then don't go. All right, then. But it's interesting to me, it's like, but who am I? And God answers. But what if they don't believe? All right, put your hand in there. Throw your stick down. I can't talk. Get your brother, So, and that's interesting to me. So in other words, this is the point I want to make, is we have the objections that come up, and we think it's enough just to kind of push that away. Must not think about, and it'll be okay. But that's not what God does, right? Is Moses speaks to God about the objection, which is the correct thing to do. All right, I see the need. I hear the calling, but I'm really nervous about this. Right? It's a great mistake to treat prayer as powerful. That you're telling God how omnipotent and the eternal heavenlies. There's something about Moses is saying, God, I don't think I got it. But that is that's a very valid prayer. If you think about it, prayer is a conversation with God. A very valid prayer is telling God, this is the area. These are the areas I'm struggling with. My confidence with people, my ability to overcome the past, my qualifications, whatever it might be. And it's interesting, he talks to God. Third thing is very simply this, and this is what determines really whether or not we have a lasting impact or a burning bush experience. What practical actions need to take place afterwards to help enable what God inspired? Because there's always something practical. So, I was stirred. Oh, well, that's good. I'm all for it, and that's what we talked about. Deal with objections. But what do you need to do? So conference, I hope for you, was not just excitement and tingles. I'm trusting that God also put his foot in your backside as well. And in a very practical way. That's the whole point. Is it, oh man, I was challenged. About what? Look at this, if we'd have kept on reading then, and this is actually part of this story, really, is Exodus 4, 24 through 26.
And it came to pass on the way, at the encampment, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of his son, cast it at Moses' feet, and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let them go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision.
Okay, this is... Sometimes the Bible just throws things in without long explanations. So we have chapter 3 and a good deal of chapter 4 that are dealing with this incredible. God meets with him powerfully. There's a great need. Can you see the need? I hear the cry. I'm sending you. You are going to deliver my people. That's what your life can be. It can be bigger. All right, you've got fears and objections. We're going to overcome that. And he meets Aaron. He tells Aaron, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to go for God. And verse 24, and so God was waiting for him to kill him. So this is fascinating. And so, without explanation, it simply launches into, in his case, his marriage and his children are out of order. And always what you see in the Bible is God uses these radical things. I'm going to kill you to make a point. And the point is, there can be things in us that stop or take us out. Obviously, if God killed him, he's not going to do what God wanted him to do, right? So the point is that every one of us, I'm confident that God spoke to us. There are practical issues that must be dealt with. Not just I'm excited, I'm stirred. You've got to deal with that. So the question is, what is the that for you? Is that your pride, your lust? Is that your marriage? Is that your anger? Is that envy? What is the that for you? Because that's what often determines. I mean, how many, you know, we've been having conference now since, 1973, 1974 probably. So, we've had a heck of a lot of conferences around here. So obviously for some people it didn't make a lifelong impact. And right here is often why. They saw the need, they were inspired, they were encouraged over a few objections, but they didn't get practical. They were taken out of the way or never got past the issue that God had dealt with them on. And so, there has to be in us a practical battle plan. Right? So, what is it? I need a change. Okay, but what do you need to change? Yeah, we all need to change. There's lots of things we need to change. Very interesting to me is if you caught just when I was asking for your response that God speaks different things to different people. Right? One guy's talking about the inner city. Another guy's not. That's not what God... Because he says different things. And that's especially true. God knows us. God called Moses by name because he knew him. He knows what's going on with us. For you, it's, all right, you're going to stop speaking out your fears and negativity. Another one, you're going to deal with your lust problem. Another one, you're going to work on your marriage. Start treating your wife better. So if you don't have a... If you somehow came out of conference and God didn't speak anything practical, you probably should check your ears. There's something wrong, but obviously it would be to ask. If you got the inspiration part, but you didn't get the practical part, you need the other half of the memo. And that's something to speak to God about and ask God, what is it in me that would stop the need or the inspiration? Because that is a crucial. When we have that kind of heart, then it is, all right, so God spoke to me about reading my Bible. God spoke to me, some of you spoke about developing that relationship that Pastor Warner. So what is it currently that you're not doing in your relationship with God? Right? Because the Bible is a very practical book. God's a practical God. He doesn't just mean that you need a deep relationship. That was deep. Does he tell, they're specific. Because you're not doing this, because you are doing that, and that, right? So that is the conviction side of conference. And that determines whether there comes a lasting burning bush experience that become reference points. And I think back over the years, there have been some conferences that really were rare. I've gone to conference twice a year in most places, since I was a kid. But there were some that I said, that was a burning bush experience. That one was different. That changed everything. Or that made a significant difference in my life. But that really is personal as well. That's not just a matter of how hot was the conference. It was a matter of what I was responding to in God. Okay, so let's open then for some questions, something you want to ask. Now's your chance. Questions about this, about conference, about calling.
You had mentioned that you had, back when you were a disciple, you would talk to your band members about what God had spoken to you through conference. Would that almost be like an accountability thing? You know, you talk to your brother and you say, God's really spoke to me about personal evangelism. And when you make that vocalized, it kind of, do you think that would cause, you know, maybe other disciples to be like, you know, remember what God spoke to you.
Yeah, sure, it can be.
Help you.
It can be, and that's helpful. And obviously, there has to be a balance. We don't deliberately, we're not, we don't believe in Bible college, and obviously it's not a matter of arranging your whole life around checklists, you know, that your friend meets you. Bro, read your Bible today? You know, did you pray today? You know, did you witness today? So because obviously the whole point is, you know, if Brandon, when we send him to Colorado, if he doesn't do it, you know, there has to be an element in you that you do it for yourself. But I really do believe it's powerful to vocalize those things. So there can be, yeah, sure, there can be accountability. The balance of that is that it not be just simply, you know. That's why the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We can take anything good. We can take a good thing, which is, you know, accountability, help you out, and we can turn that into a mere performance, right? So you have to have that balance. But yeah, but I absolutely would vocalize that speaks about your friends. If every disciple should have people that they're around that they're trying to pull up, that's new converts, that's struggling people. They should also have friends that are iron sharpens iron, that are pulling them up or encouraging them in the journey. So if all your friends are just simply guys who make you laugh or you play sports with, then you actually are failing as a disciple, because there's something powerful about that. I mean, we spent long hours. I was a disciple in West Australia. We drove for hours and hours and hours to go play in the band. And there was something about the interaction. My friends, apart from the new converts or people I was working with, the people I hung around with were not just carnal people. I hung around people that we talked about the things of God. and we went into the ministry. Eli?
I've heard a lot of powerful messages preached where it was like, wow, I need to change this and that, get convicted, get inspired. And as I, you know, I pray at the altar, but then over time that fades from my memory, and so does the impact on my life. And so a major prayer for me this week was, God, make this stick in my heart. I want this to be conviction for me, not just something that I got convicted once, but something I carry with me through the year, that I'm going to focus on this and I'm going to actually make disciplined changes.
Yep.
If I have a continued problem with longevity and with consistency in that, I mean, what can I do to make sure that something sticks in my mind and in my heart?
Well, yeah, you know, the two issues are number one, crying out to God. If you see a lack in your life, you got to ask God to help you. And two, making up your mind, and that's the whole Bible is the tension between it's all God, and yet you got to do it. And so both are true at the same time; they're not mutually exclusive. So you know, in you lack consistency, you cry out to God to change, telling God, "This is where I fall down before. You got to help me here." And then on the other hand, you got to make up your mind. That's ultimately how do you do that? It's like Justin asked me one time to help the rehab guys. How do you get these guys to really change? And Elena's like, what happened to you? I surrender my heart. Tell them that. You know, that's the key. So is it, at some point God did a miracle, but Justin made up his mind, and that's they're both are true at the same time.
Resolving your will.
Yeah, it is a resolve of the will, and yet recognizing resolving your will is not going to be enough. God's got to do a miracle. So it neither is, well, when God changes me, I'll change, and neither is it self-help must change more. It's both. Eric?
As far as like reaching the inner city and like different parts of the U.S., do you think it takes different personalities to reach like that kind of a demographic?
Well, the inner city is the thing about the inner city is from pastoring in Johannesburg, city of up to 10 million people, number one, the inner cities are places of energy. If you're kind of a slow kind of, probably inner city's not for you. Probably we should find a place in Iowa, you know, that'd be better. But, you think that people in the inner city are people of energy, movers and shakers, whether that's for crime, drugs, prostitution, whatever. But they're people of, they're constant, man. And so there is an energy that comes with that. You got to be, if you're not a flexible person, I don't think that the inner cities are be for you. You know, there are things that if things really freak you out, if you let things get to you in your mind, and you know, so there's things that have to there. God finds the right fit of people as well. So there, you know, on the one hand, God calls us to things we never would think of in ourselves, and that's valid. But on the other hand, then you also do look at personality. You know, this person probably would not fit in that kind of environment. So it's both. But God knows what He's doing. That's our confidence. But yeah, huge, huge need. Huge need is just the cities of America. And then, you know, also another practical thing is you got to either to go to a big city. The big cities are incredibly expensive. So either that guy has to have a skill that he can get a job that will pay him serious money. You're talking, let's take, for instance, New York City. The guys who have gone to New York, the average rent that they wind up paying is $2,200 a month. Right? So probably if you're working a job making $8.50 an hour, I don't think that's going to work, right, for you, for the inner city. So that's a factor. Or else, you know, we wouldn't mind paying that for a guy. It's like you, remember we took an offering for Gary Case for the building in Japan, and what was the figure that I quoted to get in there? What did I say, 40,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the email the other day to get in. Now we got to pay a year up front. It's going to cost $79,000 to get him into a building. So, but the whole point, we knew Tokyo is supposed to be the most expensive city in the world, but the factor in that is that Gary Case, he built what is now the Conference Church in Mexico City. So, we weigh that out. A guy that has proven track record, I'm willing to take him a more expensive gamble on. You know, the bottom line is that there's, you know, I would have to hear from heaven, any of you that are thinking of going to New York City in your first crack of the apple, probably that's not wisdom on your part or our part. So that's something, the inner city is something you establish yourself, you gain confidence in building. Because going from Prescott to a big city, for most of you, it's culture shock. It's just, life is different. And so there generally needs to be factors. So any of you that are, God has stirred you for the inner city, most likely that is, you're to pray for the inner city, that's to be the ultimate, and you probably will build up to going there. Is again, we can't justify sending a totally inexperienced guy and paying, you know, just his house rent is $2,500 a month. We probably can't justify that. Then he's going to go through culture shock and just like, you people don't think like people in Chino. It's going to take a while.
What about things that aren't as immediate and practical? I really don't have a love for people. What are things I can practically do to develop it? Okay, I'm going to love you. Come here.
Well, yeah, but love is very practical. So, all right. So, if God dealt with you about love, so what is it currently that you are not doing? That demonstrates your lack of love, right? So, you need to number one, for some people that's simply involvement with people, right? I love the world, but you never spend time with anybody, right? You never take anybody out to coffee. You never involve you. You come to church and only talk to your friends and don't talk to visitors. right? So when God dealt with me, that I was a selfish little sucker and didn't have a love for people, I needed to. So practically, that was before and after church. I'm not here just to see my buds, talk to my bros. I'm going to. There's a visitor and developing an eye. That wasn't normal to me, right? Number two is, you need to find somebody who is totally nothing like you. Because that's prejudice is, doesn't have to be a racial issue. Prejudice is, I prefer people who kind of are like me. You're on my wavelength. You look like me, or we both have the same interests or whatever. It's very healthy to deal with people who are nothing like you. And that may be a racial issue, that may be a financial issue, social status, personality, whatever. That's very, very healthy. And so it can be very practical. So, and you got to determine that for yourself. That'll be different for one person who spends a lot of time with people, but not anybody who's different, right? Another person doesn't spend any time with anybody. It's all about them. So it'll be different for each person. So you got to think. That's part of the thing. Remember, I've said to you before, the key to being a man of God in many ways is being a thinker. You got to learn how to think. So like that. That's a very good example. It's like, you know, God stirred me for love. Okay, but what have I not been doing? Why did God need to do that? What am I not doing currently? So for me personally, when God dealt with me about love, is that I hung out with my good friends that we laughed and had a great time together. I didn't hang out with nobody else. And so it's like, hey, that's kind of dumb. If I'm going to pastor one day with new people, I need, you know, I wasn't good at conversation. I need to work on that, you know. Nate?
All right, so on this subject of love, I mean, God inspired me about a lot of things during conference, but I feel like my heart towards people, because of this past year, I'm still fighting being cynical and critical towards people. I'm like, God, I'm really fighting. I've been praying to God for God to open my heart again, you know what I mean? But, I mean, is that just something I'm going to have to press in and fight for? I mean, because...
Yeah.
I've been...
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a, you know, that often is a common experience. You've heard me talk about then, out of what I just was talking about in love. So Lisa and I said, all right, we focused on other people and new converts, and we had, you know, all right, I'm going to love people, and the first two guys, they were homos. And so my natural instinct was like, nah, I'm not even going to talk to you. No, it's like, I am going to, you know, and they didn't ultimately make it, but it was very important for me. You know, then you have the liars and the whores and the thieves. You know, this person rips you off, and that person gives you a false address, and this person. So it was frustrating, but it's like, no, I have to. And so that's part of the process you got to work through, because that's pastoring, isn't it? Pastoring is people who don't do right, and so you got to keep you got to go back with the determination, I'm going to continue to do right. Mm. So that's valid. That's the whole point. Discipleship is not meant to be easy, and discipleship is not meant to be just book learning. Here, I give you a test, you pass this, hand it in, you know, work at your own speed. And that's what's interesting to me, is that God is very individual. Very individual. He speaks exactly what we need. Somebody else. So, what I would recommend, as far as the typed out, is very simple. I left a little space for you. I would write down some of the things that God spoke to you. The answers to the questions. I only asked you for responses in the first first ones, but because some of these may be private, personal issues, I would write them down. Make that a reference point. That here on the, 12th of January, God, this is what you spoke to me. God, this is what I need to change. God, these are the areas I'm wrestling with in objections. Because that's something that is measurable. You can come back to. and that God is able to help you. Okay. That's all I have then.
So, Pastor, would it be a reasonable expectation if you feel called to a big city to expect to go through a growth process of going to 100,000 out of town?
Yeah.
And then move up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Is there such a thing as a city that we would, after trying multiple times, decide not to pursue anymore? Is that even?
Well, yeah, sometimes. But often, what you see is that may be a timing issue. Because we have issues that are cities where it's like, nah, that didn't work. Okay, I'm giving it a rest. And one church or one pastor says, no, I'm not going to invest in that city anymore. And then you get another guy, but God stirs him, 5 years later for the same city.
I was talking to somebody about, like San Francisco or what.
She said she
couldn't hear how badly that place needs to be here in the States. And I'm like, cool, how do we get that there?
Yeah, so. But God has particular men for particular cities. So.
Right.
That's an inspiration factor. And that's why we have a fellowship. If you're trying to reach the whole world by yourself, it's going to be hard because you're going to write off whole sections, right? So lo and behold, God will move on somebody else to go to those same places.